Aw, yeah, and happy holidays, real lifer. This is Ethan, and I am really excited for today's episode. We had a lot of fun bringing you this holiday edition of Real Life Radio. As we mention in this podcast, if you go to the show notes page, which is at reallifeglobal.com/eggnog, we have a special holiday present for you. So after listening to this, or even right now, if you're in front of a computer, go to reallifeglobal.com/EGGNOG to download that now. All right, enjoy the podcast.
Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah?
Oh yeah! Ho ho ho, ladies and gentlemen, this is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, very jolly, or
sugar plumtastic,
or even
fat
way to learn English. Is that a pH fat or F-A-T fat?
It's a fat Santa Claus and a pH. Fat Santa Claus.
Okay.
P-H-A-T.
P-H-A-T fat is... We'll explain that in a second. So I'm joined here in the studio. No. So download this podcast, right?
Yeah.
While you're stuck in traffic, walking the dog.
Building a gingerbread house.
Sliding down a chimney.
Or even... sliding down a...
Snowy hill.
There you go. Awesome. Tobogganing?
Riding a toboggan, maybe?
Riding a toboggan.
What would you do in Australia? Like, ride down a sand dune?
Yeah, maybe sandboard? Or go surfing.
Go surfing.
Yeah.
Christmas surfing.
To surf on Christmas Day, yeah.
That sounds pretty jolly.
It is very jolly, yes. We're very jolly people in Australia, you know?
Maybe have like a nice little white, great white shark come up to you with a Santa Claus hat on.
Yeah. Big smiley grin, you know?
Saying ho ho ho.
Tiki smile, you might say. Okay, so let's... introduce the guys. Obviously, I introduced myself already. Chad. I'm here with Mr. V himself, Ethan.
What's going on?
Not too much, just chilling. Ready for this awesome podcast and this festive holiday season.
Nice.
What about you?
I am also looking forward to building a snowman, having some hot cocoa, maybe watch a Christmas Carol. Or Christmas movie?
Christmas Carols, right?
Yeah, Christmas Carols. There's a movie, famous movie called The Christmas Carol.
Oh, really?
I don't actually like that one. My favorite Christmas movie is Elf with Will Ferrell.
Okay. You're a bit of a connoisseur of the old Christmas movies.
Yeah, I love Christmas.
Really? Okay. Yeah. You mentioned building a snowman. Is that for real? Or
in Colorado, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can build a... It's usually snowy around Christmas, so... we like have sledding, skiing, snowboarding, building snowmen, frolicking in the snow, having a
frolicking in the snow. What does that mean to frolic?
It's like to play, I guess.
Did you include this in your article 40 ways to say sex? Because frolic is also another word that people use for sex.
Well, not frolic. Frolic in the sheets as an expression, right?
So
anyway.
Okay. Anyway.
Back into Christmas spirit.
Yes, back into the Christmas spirit of frolicking in snow and building snowmans and being very jolly.
I also said building a gingerbread house.
Gingerbread house.
Have you ever done that?
No, never. What is that?
I think it's probably more American, right? It's like you have gingerbread cookies, which is it's just a type of cookie that's especially common around Christmas. And we make these and cut them into like shapes and actually build a house out of this with like gingerbread men and candy to like decorate it and stuff.
There are some cartoons about gingerbread men, right?
Yeah, there's a song too.
Would you care to sing it?
No. I was trying to think of the lyrics of it and I can't. But like in Shrek, for example, there's the gingerbread man.
Gingerbread man.
Who doesn't like people pulling at his gumdrop buttons.
Okay. Okay. You seem to really like the gingerbread man.
Yeah.
Know a lot about the gingerbread house and men.
It's very traditional in the United States.
What is ginger?
Ginger is it's a root that it has a very strong taste, but you can use it. These cookies are flavored with ginger. You'll find a lot of different kind of foods that are flavored with ginger.
A ginger is also a redhead.
Yeah, you could say it's
ginger hair.
Yeah.
There's a famous, I think it's from England, actually. I'm not sure if you guys have this in the United States, but it's a kid's story based on a character called Ginger Meggs.
No, I don't think we have that.
Never heard of Ginger Meggs?
No.
Okay. But it's interesting we're talking about ginger, because just this morning, you said to me, hey, Chad, whack some ginger into your smoothie.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. What do I mean by whack into?
It's to like add or to throw something into something.
It's kind of an informal way to say like put into, right?
It's definitely slangy, because if you say...
Slangy.
I was, it's funny, I was listening to like one of our old podcasts yesterday, like episode 80 or 40 something, and we had the same explanation about the word whack.
Oh, really?
The word whack can be like put something in something, or like hit someone, hit something. It's like whack it.
Oh, that guy's a bit of a whack job.
Yeah. What does that mean? He's like crazy or stupid?
I think he's kind of crazy.
It's insane.
I think it's an American expression, though. Or even in the American like gangsters of New York, they'd be like, I'm going to whack that guy. He got whacked.
Yeah, that's kind of like old-fashioned English, I think.
But Chad says a lot like, let's whack that in there. Let's put that in there.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm Justin.
We haven't introduced Justin yet. Also joining the show today is Justin. What is up, man?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was just listening here and I felt a little bit left out. Yeah.
Justin's just sitting over here wearing his Santa hat, hanging back.
I was going to introduce you. I was still remembering that I have to introduce you, but the conversation just started flowing and so many words and expressions came up. How about you today, man?
I'm great. Yeah. I'm really jolly. I'm really in the Christmas spirit.
Okay. We have said the word jolly many times now, so what does jolly mean?
Jolly is a word for like very joyous, right? Mm-hmm. Extremely happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And why is it associated generally with Christmas?
I think it's associated mainly with Santa Claus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jolly old fat man.
Yeah.
It's like rosy.
PH fat or the F-A-T?
Yes, so P-H-A-T is fat, but it means cool.
Yeah, it's like slang. But no one says that anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's just us. Kind of like the night. I guess it comes from like maybe gangsterish culture. Like, yo, that girl is fat.
Yeah.
It's like PH fat. I think it means like pretty, hot, and tempting.
Man, real life English is fat.
I didn't even know that.
No, I think I saw it on a movie somewhere. I'm not sure if that's even real or they just invented that for the movie. But yeah. Jolly fat Santa Claus. I guess jolly also means... Jolly has this... When I think of jolly, I think of someone who is kind of fat, maybe.
Yeah. Or has, like, rosy cheeks.
Yeah, what are rosy cheeks?
It's like you're kind of blushing or your cheeks are red. Mm-hmm. It could also be like you're... I think it can be associated with drinking alcohol, and you can be say, like, someone's really jolly because they've had a few.
You think Santa Claus is an alcoholic?
He could be. He's on that cold sleigh, you know? Maybe he needs, like, a little bit of a... A nip of something to warm
cold
him up.
Cold sleigh? Cold sleigh? What do you mean?
And also a nip of something.
A nip of something. Cold sleigh, so Santa's sleigh that is carried by the reindeer.
Like the Kingslayer.
No, not at all like the Kingslayer.
Sleigh also means to kill, right?
To kill. But in this case, a sleigh is kind of like we said, a toboggan at the beginning. Maybe it's kind of like a big toboggan.
It's like a sled, right?
Yeah.
And it's spelled differently, right? The sleigh is S-L-E-I-G-H-T. Uh-huh.
That's a slight.
S-L-E-I-G-H. And slay, like to kill someone, would be S-L-A-Y.
Yeah.
Like slayer.
And a nip of something?
A nip of something would be just a little sip.
Like a sip. But isn't it usually connotated with alcohol? Like a nip of...
Maybe.
A nip of something to warm you up, you know, a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit nippy out.
It's a bit nippy out. It's like it's cold.
It's a bit nippy out. And speaking of being a bit nippy out, so obviously, not obviously, but just so you podcast listeners know, all of us, myself, Justin, and Ethan, are going to be going back to our hometowns, our homelands, maybe you might say, for Christmas. So is it going to be a bit nippy for you over Christmas time, Justin?
I think it will be. I'm from the Seattle area, which is in the northwest part of the United States, from the state of Washington, but not the capital. Capital's on the other side, but it rains a lot. So it's usually cold, maybe like, well, it's 20 degrees Fahrenheit right now, about, which is...
It's like negative 5 or 10, okay. Something about that. Very cold.
It's freezing.
Yeah, Celsius. And in Colorado, it will also be probably below zero, or below freezing, we would probably say more, because it's 32 is freezing in Fahrenheit. Crazy system. And it should be snowing, like I was saying at the beginning of this, the Rocky Mountains. It's usually snowy around Christmas time, and we enjoy a lot of outdoor sports in the snow, like snowshoeing, skiing, snowboarding.
Snowshoeing.
Snowshoeing is like you have these big rackets that you wear on your feet.
Oh, they actually look like tennis rackets, right?
Yeah. The more modern ones, they don't look anything like that anymore, but it's a lot of fun, too. It's basically like hiking in the snow, and you use these things so that you don't fall into the snow.
Mm.
And, yeah, drink some hot drinks. Hot cocoa is very typical. You might add something a little bit nippy in there, like some peppermint schnapps.
What's peppermint schnapps? What's it called when you... you guys are going to get the word straight away, so I don't know why I'm asking you, but when you have a communal drink, like maybe...
Punch?
Egg punch.
Yeah.
And someone puts extra alcohol into the punch.
They spike it?
To spike.
That's like connected speech too, right? Spike it?
To spike it.
Mm-hmm. What is a spike?
A spike is like a... Like on a heart rate monitor, you have kind of like spikes or like the upward... Sharp edges, right?
Something with like a sharp edge, right? A spike.
Bart Simpson has spiky hair.
Yeah. It's a good example. Yeah.
So to spike the punch is really to put an extra sharp something in there.
Well, something punch is... So, punch is actually a fruit drink that maybe you see at parties and stuff where it's just one big bowl filled with liquid, like the drink, and you just get one cup and just fill your cup.
Yeah, but you could also have eggnog. Right.
Ooh, eggnog is really good.
Eggnog
really
is good. For Christmas time, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that?
I don't think so.
You're missing out.
I'm missing it. Actually, I think I haven't had like real eggnog. I think I've only had like in a pre-made, like in a little milk box. It's like milk, right?
It counts.
It's made with egg, but it's similar to milk in some ways, but it has a much richer taste.
Yeah, I've made it before homemade, and like homemade is obviously way better than what you buy in the cartons, but actually, like, the experience of making it, you see how unhealthy it is. It's just, like, cream, like, heavy cream, and eggs and sugar, like, raw eggs as well. And then you usually add rum to it as well. Mm. So it's, like, you know, it's all, once you're old enough, it's, like, it's all about the booze.
It sounds like you grew up in a very alcoholic environment.
Actually, like, we'd get the carton of eggnog.
You know? So carton is what? It's like the box it comes in, right?
Wait. You said carton, and he said carton. What's going on?
I think he's trying to pronounce it easier.
Okay.
But an American would probably say carton.
Carton.
Yeah.
And the real word is carton. Yeah. C-A-R-T-O-N. A carton of milk. Right. Or a carton of... What else can you get a carton of?
A carton of...
cigarettes?
Maybe, yeah.
But we don't promote smoking here.
A carton of walnuts.
Okay. It's like a box, right? It's when it's being boxed in a small box.
Mm-hmm. So just going back there to explain the pronunciation of that, carton, right? So you guys know what that's called?
Stop tea.
It's a glottal tea.
Yeah.
So it's like another, there it happens to be like the word mountain,
mm-hmm.
right? Gotten.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Manhattan?
Yeah. It's related to the stop tea, too. But because there's a stop in it.
Yeah, it kind of gets cut off at the back of your throat.
Yeah, and we can actually post a video tutorial of this, but this is actually one of the harder sounds to master. But there's a series of words. Mountain, gotten, carton.
Mm-hmm. Hat, bat, cat.
It's almost like a patten.
Patten.
It's sort of a similar sound if you could say, uh-oh, uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
When would you use the sound, uh-oh?
When something that you don't like happens, like, uh-oh.
You make a mistake, kind of, right? It's like a kid would use it if they, like, drop milk on the floor or something, mm-hmm. or eggnog.
What's happening in the back of your throat, it's getting cut off mm-hmm. there. It's almost like you're eating it, so you're making a sound without really using your tongue.
Yeah, it's really challenging. If English is not your native language, most learners have a lot of trouble developing this sound.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not even really a sound, it's the way that it manipulates the sound in the back of your throat, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
even the word glottal mm-hmm. has a glottal T, right?
Uh-huh.
It's spelled G-L-O.
Not for us, we'd say glottal.
Glottal, yeah. Okay. But in British English,
in
it would
British,
be
in British, you do glottal. It, they do it a little bit different because it's like a double T, right? It becomes a glottal T.
Yeah. Glottal.
Glottal.
Yeah, but you know how to pronounce a glottal T over there. Okay, sorry, go on then.
Nothing.
Oh, okay. So you're going to add a little bit extra information about the glottal T.
Yeah, what Ethan was saying there about it's like the word, what word did you say there? The glottal.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the American T, to the North American, so it's like a flap T.
Yeah, it's when it's, the T is between two vowel sounds, it becomes a D sound.
Better, water.
Which is very similar to, if you speak a Latin language, it's very similar to how the single R is produced. So,
anyways, what do you mean?
Because it's like made right behind your teeth. So it's like for Spanish speakers, for example, when they hear the flap T, that American T sound, for them it sounds very much like their R sound.
Oh, okay. What's a word in Spanish that would have the R sound like that?
Pero.
Pero.
It's like butt.
Ah, B-U-T. Oh.
No, that's perro. Okay. With the rolled R.
Ah, perro.
Yeah.
Was that dog or butt?
That was butt.
Okay.
Perro. There you go.
What if I say, but dog?
Pero perro.
Okay, cool. Okay, so Christmas time, Christmas adventures. Justin's going back to Washington State.
Now we all got a hankering for some eggnog.
We all have a hankering for some eggnog. Hankering, we mentioned that recently, just to remind people, what does a hankering mean?
Like you feel like eating something. Mm-hmm. You feel like something.
Is that Australian?
No, it's it's like, I think, Southern.
Yeah.
But we use it in Colorado, I guess.
Well,
or
it's in the South, right?
Kind of.
I got a hankering for some KFC.
Yeah.
Colorado's more Southwest, right?
Yeah, it's Southwest is what it's considered.
So tell us about your end-of-year adventures.
So
Christmas time.
You mean my travels?
Just Christmas. And where, like, was you going back to your homeland, your hometown?
I'll be spending it, like, in my brother's house. Get to spend the second Christmas with my nephew, but, like, should be a little bit more exciting this time, because last time he was 3 weeks old, I think, on Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So now he's a year, he's starting to walk, he'll be appreciating, or at least, like, opening the presents, you know, and stuff.
Should get him on the podcast.
Yeah. We have a very in-depth conversation about, like, the philosophies of life with him.
Yes, exactly.
For a one-year-old.
No, we can demonstrate our method and teach him English. Connected speech.
There you go. And, just looking forward to spending time with the family. I think, at least for me growing up, Christmas, the essence of it has always been spending time with the family, you know, more so than, like, part of my family comes from a Catholic background, but I think that for us, it's not very, we don't really celebrate it in a Christian way anymore. We don't go to church or anything. It's just like really that time being around family, having a big dinner, being grateful for everything that we have and just like, you know, enjoying being inside a nice warm house on a cold, snowy day.
Sounds very cozy.
Yeah. Drinking some hot cocoa.
Drinking some hot cocoa, spiked with peppermint schnapps.
One of the things about Christmas in the United States, I don't know how it is in Australia, but we usually have shorter days because we're at that part of the year where days are extremely short.
Yeah.
Having distinct seasons is very, very different than living in Brazil, for example, where it's like almost always spring.
Yeah, especially because like Washington's almost the Canadian border, and it's like, or the part you live in. And it's like, I mean, I've been there before at Christmas time, and the days are really short.
It gets dark at, like, at maybe 5 o'clock at that time of year.
Maybe even early. I kind of, like, remember even being, like, 4. And then, like, on the flip side, you have in the summer, I remember going there one time for 4th of July, and it's, like, the fireworks didn't start until, like, 11 o'clock at night. It's really late.
On the flip side?
On the flip side, on the kind of the other side of things.
Catch you on the flip side.
Catch you on the flip side. An expression to say, see you later.
What about in Australia? How does the time change a lot? You guys are really far down under.
And yeah, it's summer.
Yeah, it's summer.
Imagine
summer.
That.
It's a hot Christmas.
What time does it get dark?
I can't really remember. I think it's probably like 8 p.m. something like that. I think we don't have those extra really long days there, you know, but it's just very hot.
Are there times of the year where it gets dark early?
Yeah, there are. In winter. So it's like in the middle of the year. But it's not that much different. You know, the actual difference is like maybe it gets dark at 6 as opposed to getting dark at like 8. You know? Never goes really extended to like 11 or something like that. I mean, I think now we have daylight savings, so maybe it is a little...
Daylight savings? What is this?
Daylight savings is when during summertime you change the clocks back an hour, so you get an extra long day.
Because it saves the daylight, saves the light of day.
But it's kind of the reason why I think maybe they discontinued that was because a lot of people... I get up early anyway, so I want the early... I want it to be light when I wake up.
Yeah. Early bird gets the worm.
What does that mean?
Early bird gets the worm means the person that gets up early has more opportunities, right? They're able to be the first one there, take advantage.
Right, there's a Benjamin Franklin quote, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Say that again.
Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
So early to bed... Early to rise. What does rise mean?
To wake up. Mm-hmm. Rise is literally, it's like similar to the translation in like Portuguese or Spanish, like to get up.
Mm-hmm. Like sunrise, for example, the sun rises, right? It's different from raise, right? They're very similar.
Raise is like to lift something, right?
Yeah, you get, like you raise the bar, for example.
Yeah. Or a zombie, you could also call the rising dead.
Going back to the early bird gets the worm, I actually look at it from the worm's perspective, and it's like the early worm gets eaten.
It's like the excuse to pull your covers back over your head. You're like, I'm going back to sleep. I don't want to get eaten by this day.
Yeah, exactly. What time do you guys get up?
Theoretically, 7:30.
Theoretically?
7:30, something like
that. What time do you go to bed?
Midnight, 12:30, something like that.
So I try to do the Benjamin Franklin, like, going to bed maybe by 10:30, getting up at 6:30, maybe 7, depends on if I'm gonna go run or do something like that and I need a little bit of extra time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
You do like the whole like 9:30, right?
No, I go to bed at like 10:30, 11, and I wake up 5:30. I've done the 5 o'clock, which they call it the miracle morning. Mm-hmm. There's even a really great book I read earlier this year about that miracle morning. So it's like there's certain things that they're like the fundamentals, the pillars of living having a good day. And so those pillars that they always talk about are like...
What's a pillar?
A pillar is like a column that supports something, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like the foundation. And so for me, it's like exercise. So doing yoga every morning, meditation. Mm-hmm. It's like when I do those two things, my day is a lot better. Reading, you know, getting a good chunk or a good piece of time to do some reading and doing some writing as well, like gratitude practice, that type of thing. If I do those four things every day, the day is a lot better. And so I challenge you, maybe even include some of these activities in English. If you ever cultivate like a daily morning routine, something that you do every day, because at the end of the day, sometimes you come home, you're tired, it's hard to really do those things.
It's true. But I think there is kind of I've heard other arguments kind of against that it works really well for some people who kind of, they prefer waking up earlier, they're more productive in the morning, but there's other people who also are just like more productive at night. There's actually, I've heard of especially writers say that they like to kind of burn the midnight oil.
burn the midnight oil.
Yeah. They like to stay up really late, like, because it'll be... And it's kind of the same argument for getting up early, but it's, like, quiet, everyone else is sleeping.
Like St. Nick.
Yeah, St. Nick. He's burning the midnight oil all Christmas night.
Who's St. Nick?
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Which comes from a... St. Nicholas was the I guess it's a Catholic saint, right?
Yeah, I believe, like, in Germany, for example, they had, I recall, they had another holiday, which was, like, St. Nicholas's Day, which is, like, December 6th or 16th or something like that. And they have a tradition where you leave, like, kids leave their boots outside of their bedroom door, and then when they wake up in the morning, there's, like, a present inside of their boot, like candy and stuff. It's kind of like, in the U.S., we have something similar on Christmas where you hang your stockings by the fire.
Stocking.
A stocking is like a big sock. And like Santa comes and, you know, he leaves you presents, but he also stuffs your stocking.
Stuffs your stocking? What do you mean by stuff in this case?
So he fills like these giant socks with like small presents, usually like candies or other little useful things. And... Even, you know, since...
Candies and other useful things? Because candy is so useful.
I should say candies and useful things.
Okay, candies? Things. No, candies... You can't say candies, can you? It's not countable.
I'm talking about, like, women named Candy. Multiple women
candy. Santa Claus brings you women for Christmas?
Mom, there's a woman in my stocking.
Okay, here's
an example. Candies is not countable officially, but I think, you know... The way that we play around with the language and stuff like that, it's normal for a native person. Oh, there's so many candies there.
Yeah.
But it should say pieces of candy.
So I was going to
say... Although I would never use the word candy in Australian English.
What say do you say? Sweet.
I would say lollies.
Lollies. Brit, a Brit would say a sweet, right?
I don't know.
But in American English, a lolly...
That's Jack.
Lollipop, right? A lollipop.
Hmm.
That's a fish hook.
Is it a fish hook? Really?
Why is that associated with the lollipop, though?
Because the
pop. Yeah, but... Okay. Yeah,
I think there's even a song. Lollipop, lollipop, lollipop.
Okay, I think I remember that song, too.
It's like from the 50s.
Yeah.
But I was going to say another, like, useful term, if you're at least in the United States. Christmas is a very commercial holiday, so we say these kind of useful things or... Not so useful things, maybe, but you know they're kind of like presents that are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We call them stocking stuffers because they're like things that your mom can buy to like put in your stocking.
So to stuff, what does it mean if I say like I'm stuffed?
To stuff is to fill,
uh-huh.
And then like stuffed, I'm stuffed is kind of like a slang meaning I'm really full. Uh-huh. After Christmas dinner, you're always stuffed because like the table is full of different foods.
Maybe you can get a stuffed teddy bear. For your nephew.
You could. That would be, like, less slangy, though, right?
Yeah, stuff means it's filled
slangy.
With... Slangy. It's filled with a material, right? Like a teddy bear, a stuffed animal.
Stuffed animal.
See, in Australia, we can also say, oh, man, I had a really hard day today. I'm stuffed.
It's like you're exhausted?
Yeah.
You say, like, you're knackered?
Knackered, yeah. Pretty knackered. Beat. You say beat, too, right?
I'm yeah. Beat. We wouldn't say knackered. I learned that from living with British people. They say that a lot.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, what is a typical stocking stuffer you've received in the past, like as a present from St. Nick himself?
From quote-unquote St. Nick? Yeah. It's a good question. I've gotten like books before. You know, you get like a small book probably that would fit in your stocking. Stockings can be pretty big.
Depends, you know, depends on the person, right?
Definitely.
Stockings come in all shapes and sizes.
So just so you know, like, your stockings are, like, they mean by a sock,
yeah,
right?
It's a big sock.
But a stocking, when a woman wears a stocking, it's actually kind of like their pantyhose.
But it's just, like, I think the difference is, like, pantyhose is, like, one piece, and a stocking is two pieces.
Yeah.
Mm. It's very, like, very thin... cotton or some kind of a thin fabric that it kind of sometimes they women even wear stockings that look like their skin color,
yeah, or like a little bit darker.
It's a little bit darker.
It's
yeah.
Like it seems at least to me like very professional, businessy,
yeah,
to be when a woman wears stockings.
So I wouldn't go to a business meeting without stockings, that's for sure.
Of course. So just, gotta look your best.
Just to clarify, like men don't actually use the word stocking outside of Christmas for something of theirs.
Well, we don't wear stockings, typically. In this day and age.
Some people might. It's okay. If you do like stockings, it's okay.
If that's your thing.
Yeah.
We don't discriminate against people wearing stockings.
Yeah. Unless they are Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. I think he probably would, though, because, like, actually, I would actually argue that men do wear stockings, like, we have them for skiing. Like, you wear them, they're also called long underwear, and you wear them because it's like an extra layer.
Long johns, like, but they're not called stockings, they're long johns.
You could call them stockings, though. I think I've heard them called stockings. Anyway,
the most important thing that you need to know is that the person understands what you're talking about. So if you say stockings, and they know what you're talking about, you're doing a good job.
But be careful, because sometimes, like my roommate the other day is from Egypt, and he said, oh, I'm wearing perfume. Because in Portuguese, right, it's like perfume, and it's both masculine and feminine.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But we say?
Cologne.
Cologne.
For men.
Perfume is for women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure. But we knew exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And we didn't think it was... I mean, maybe you thought it was a little strange, but we got his message across.
No, I let him know.
Okay.
You called him out on it.
First, call him out?
Call him out. It's like you make someone aware that they made a mistake or did something kind of funny or something like that.
Okay, notice what Ethan just said. Call him out.
Call him out.
Call him out. So it's the him gets connected to the call and the H gets reduced. Call him.
Call him out. And it's like even the... It all kind of like mushes together, so it's like call him out.
But I would argue that is not the Justin didn't call him out, because to call someone out is like to point that they're wrong and make a bit of a scene, like, no, you're wrong, it's not perfume, it's cologne, you idiot.
No, I was like that actually. No, I'm just kidding.
Isn't that what call someone out actually kind of means? Like, to really point out their mistake and make it very public?
But if it's like a friend, you could also do it, I think, in a joking way.
I think it just means to... Maybe it does have a negative connotation.
We'd also say, like, more vulgar, give someone shit.
To give someone shit.
To give someone shit. You gave him shit about using the wrong word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that we promote, you know, we're very open. If you make mistakes, it's totally cool as long as your message is getting across.
Yeah, first communicate, right? And then you can worry about accuracy later. And if you're with people that will help you, that's even better.
Yeah. Unfortunately, if you're with Justin, he's going to give you shit. Oh, yeah, you smell like a woman.
So should we reel it back in?
Reel it back in? What does that mean?
Kind of like come back to the main topic. Mm-hmm. I think you were getting started to, talking about Christmas and Christmas Down Under before we went off on a tangent.
I think Christmas Down Under is just pretty much, I mean, it's probably very different because it's very low-key, you know, it's like we do have a Christmas tree.
What's a low-key?
Low-key is not such a big event, you know, I base that on what I've seen on American movies and everybody decorates their house, and there's people going crazy about Christmas. But I think
Christmas caroling.
Christmas caroling.
What is caroling? We mentioned that earlier.
Caroling is to sing a Christmas carol.
Yeah.
This is funny because Carol is the name of a woman. Hi, Carol. Carol is caroling outside.
If you go back to podcast number 44, Chad, Josh Plotkin, and I, we did Christmas Carol. Very beautiful.
Very.
But down under in Australia, it's a little more low key, very family. It's summer. People go to the beach and hang out. People on holidays, vacation.
I've always been curious. Like, what do you decorate for Christmas? Do you decorate? Do you have like a fake pine tree, which is like a pine tree?
Yeah,
is what
yeah,
we
yeah.
typically decorate
the Christmas tree.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or do you use some other kind of tree, a palm tree or a
palm tree? No. It's a normal like American Christmas tree.
Okay.
It's a pine tree,
but it's
right?
Plastic.
Plastic, yeah. I don't think anyone has the real one.
Some people in the States, it's getting more and more popular, I think, especially just because of environmental. People are thinking green more and more. The plastic trees. But
wait, is that more green?
It's more green. More green, like environmentally green.
Oh, okay, because so plastic is just great for the environment.
Yeah. Well, if you're never throwing it away, it's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
It's better than, like, killing a tree every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But some people will, they have the tradition of, like, going to a place where you're allowed to actually cut down your own tree And then, like, you know, you bring it back to your house and you decorate it and everything.
Mm. We do that at my house, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I went last year. It's like family tradition. Everybody meets at the Christmas tree farm. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually self-sustaining because they plant trees every year.
Yeah.
And so it's not like they're going out into nature and, you know, destroying, like,
a forest.
Miles of forest in the Amazon or something.
But who gets to do the honors of cutting it down? Does big old strong Uncle Justin tackle that task?
No, I was distracting my nephews at that point. my dad usually does it, my brother.
Okay. And
maybe I'll do it this year. Maybe I'll...
Take a whack at it?
Take a whack at it, yeah.
Literally, another use of whack.
To hit, to axe it down, chop it.
Take a whack at something, though, is to try it, right?
Oh, you mean like to give something a go?
Yeah, to attempt something.
I'll give it a whack.
But yeah. Decorating the tree is really a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, it definitely is. What is memory lane?
It's just an expression that we use. It means like kind of going back to throughout history, looking at our past, because the decorations...
Mm-hmm. The ornaments.
The ornaments, yeah. They're always from like kindergarten, right?
Yeah.
Like little kids make ornaments that stay in the family for years.
Ornaments are what? They stay in the family for years? What the hell?
Yeah, they're Christmas. So like there are a lot of times they're like globes or there are other sorts of decorations that have like hooks that you mm-hmm. hang on the tree.
Okay.
And most Americans, I think, have these. Some people just do the globes, but my family is the same. That my mom, every year she would like one stocking stuffer we would get. Was a Christmas ornament. Mm. So actually...
Sounds like a pretty shit stocking stuffer, right?
Well, it's the cool thing is, like, also for us, it's a trip down memory lane. We get out the boxes with the ornaments, and, like, we all decorate the tree together. And it's like, oh, I remember this ornament from, like, when I was 12. Or, like, she would usually try to, for example, get it to commemorate something that happened that year. So it's like, we pull out one, and it's from a trip we did in Italy. And it's, like, some ornament that she found in Italy for us.
She's just... Go ahead.
I think we might say the same thing. What are you going to say?
I was going to ask him about the word globe.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because this is some very common pronunciation. You said, she tries to.
She tries to.
Ta. Why do we always say ta instead of like to?
Yeah, we reduce, a lot of times we reduce prepositions.
I heard da, tries to.
Tries to. It could be either. Tries to, tries to.
Potato, patata.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Globe?
Globe.
Globe.
You said the ornaments are... Globes.
Yeah, so it's just like a ball, right?
I would say like glass ball. I never use the word globe.
Really?
Yeah.
But a lot of times they're like metal or something like that.
Metal?
Yeah.
Like a medallion?
Yeah. Metal.
Oh, metal.
Yeah.
Made for metal.
Another thing that we do when we're decorating the tree, we put on Christmas music.
Yeah, we do that as well.
And so it kind of creates this environment, the family being together, drinking eggnog, mm-hmm. right?
Hot cocoa.
Putting the decorations up. It's cold outside. Might be snowing. Go out and make a snowman, have a snowball fight.
Put up the Christmas lights.
Christmas lights, yeah.
Out on the house. We actually, I don't know if this is popular in Washington. I'm guessing it's not popular in Australia, but they have tours where...
Tours or tours?
I would say tours. Where?
I would say tours. What would you say?
Tour.
Tour.
I definitely would say tour.
Okay.
You jump in your car, or there might be actually like an official tour that goes around to all the best decorated houses in the town. So it's like we usually just do this. Like one of our neighbors they live like in a mansion, a very big house, and they always do a very elaborate job of decorating. So cars are always going past our house to go up to this house on the hill that has this amazing Christmas decorating. So people actually jump in their cars and they go to like all these different houses where people have just done a kick-ass job decorating.
How do they jump into their car?
They jump into their car. You just roll down the window and you get a running start and go feet first into the passenger seat.
It's funny how we use, like, people that, just so listeners, you know, we use these terms quite a lot. To jump into the car just means to get into the car. It's like to throw something into the milkshake. It means just to place it into the milkshake or the smoothie. We use certain verbs that are a little exaggerated. We don't actually jump in, but we just...
We like to hyperbolize.
Hyperbolize?
It's like to exaggerate.
I've never heard that word before.
Yeah. Really? Maybe I just invented it right now. Yeah. But a hyperbole is an exaggeration.
Is it like a hyperbole or something?
Pretty sure it's hyperbole, but could be wrong. Mm. Or maybe it's West Coast versus Southwest.
Ah,
Okay, maybe I've just been reading it the entire time. Yeah, hyperbole is hyperbole, right?
Yeah, no. It's like the funny thing about English is sometimes native speakers don't know how to pronounce something if they've never heard it, if they've only read it.
Hmm.
So it's like even for you English learners, like don't feel bad because sometimes we even make mistakes.
Yeah, well, they hear us make the mistakes all the time on the podcast.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I'm still wondering who's right in this case.
Hyperbole. We're going to have to look it up later.
Or just agree to disagree and not really care about how the pronunciation really is, because you know what you're talking about.
Let's invent a new pronunciation of this word. But anyways, just about all this Christmas topic, a movie that I really recommend that if you really want to get like a sense of Christmas in a comedy movie, a really great movie, is called National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best, funniest Christmas movies, American Christmas movies that exist.
Well, you mentioned a movie too, right?
Yeah, it's the one I'm thinking, that's like a classic, I'd say. Maybe Elf, that's like my favorite Christmas movie, that could be becoming classic because it's actually getting some years now. But it's like Will Ferrell, it's a really funny movie as well, and it's like you get all the typical Christmas stereotypes about the U.S.
Mm. And one thing, I don't know if you've noticed, but we haven't really mentioned religion because it's a cultural holiday, right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, like about my family, when I was younger we used to go to church, but it's kind of lost that sensation for us. It's more about the family and like just the traditions and everything. And the presents, of course.
You know, and a lot of people, it's really about football, right?
A lot of people, well, isn't that more Thanksgiving?
Isn't there, like, football on Christmas Day or something? There's, like...
Not sure.
Yeah, I think there are, like, college football bowls.
Maybe. Bowls? I think of that more as on like, Thanksgiving.
What's a bowl?
Well, it's like a final game. The Super Bowl.
Oh,
You have the Rose Bowl, which is another famous championship game.
Mm, okay. Yeah. Cool. Lots of bowls happening there. bowl of eggnog.
Yeah.
You drink it like a punch, like the bowl, and then you just like scoop your cup in there?
Well, we usually buy the carton because like not everyone in the family likes it. It's kind of an acquired taste, I think. Especially kids like it more because it's sweet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually been liking, now they have like, because I don't really like drinking milk as much, they have coconut milk eggnog, which is like vegan. So it's like it doesn't actually have any raw eggs or milk. And it's got a little bit of a coconutty flavor to it.
Okay.
I like what you did there. Coconut, because coconutty is not really an adjective, but you made it an adjective.
Yeah, it's a great thing about English.
The beauties of our language.
You wrote an article about this, didn't you?
Probably.
How to invent words in English.
I think I did, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, we'll have to whack that in the show notes.
Yeah. And then we can just jump into the next topic.
What is the next topic?
I don't know. I just wanted to use the word jump into because you mentioned whack. Okay.
Chad, you're such a nutty guy. Nutty?
Nutty, crazy.
Yeah, nutty, right?
Yeah, nutty. Okay, so I think we can probably wrap this Christmas podcast up. Was there any special pieces of information you guys wanted to share about Christmas? I mean, I personally haven't really had a Christmas in like, 5 years ago I was in Australia. Then prior to that, it was like 4 years before that. And then prior to that, it was like, I can't even remember. So I don't have that many Christmassy memories.
And so it's going to be like a whole new experience for you.
I think I'm going to really experience Christmas again.
And you're going to have a new little nephew as well to experience it with.
Yes.
I think that's like the best part, like now getting older, is being able to experience Christmas through children's eyes. Because it doesn't have the same magic for you anymore about like, you know, the imagination of Santa Claus coming down the chimney. I remember when I was a kid, like, sleeping on the couch in the living room because I wanted to, like, be there when Santa came. Which I think
you mean like when you're, like, 17?
Probably more like 7, but...
Okay. I just remember waking up in the morning and running in there and seeing the presents and wanted to catch Santa. The same thing. I wanted to catch him. I never caught him. I never could, so...
You, like, leave out a little trap with, like, cookies and milk.
And now that I live in Brazil, he doesn't come to Brazil.
No.
So I'm going to have to go back and catch him.
He doesn't come... He comes everywhere, doesn't he?
Yeah, he goes supposedly everywhere in the world.
Everywhere that has Coca-Cola, you find Santa Claus.
Why is that?
Apparently, the origins of Santa Claus, the red suit and the jolliness and the rosy cheeks, were actually created as a marketing campaign for Coca-Cola.
Is that true about polar bears as well? Do polar bears not really exist? It's just an invention from Coca-Cola?
Maybe. I've never seen a polar bear, have you?
No.
No. If I haven't seen it, it doesn't exist.
No. Coca-Cola is at it again.
Yeah. What do you think Coca-Cola is at it? It's like, you said at it again.
At it. Yeah. At it. At it.
At it again.
At it again.
You notice the T became a D in both cases.
And the... The A at the beginning of again became an They're at it again.
Uh-huh.
At it again. They're at it again. That means that they are kind of up to something. They're trying to trick us or trying to pull a fast one on us.
Pull a fast one.
It all means the same thing. Trick someone.
Yeah, pull a fast one would be trying to like swindle them, trying to
scam
them.
What was the word we used with Kevin on the last podcast?
Oh, you mean Conwell?
Kevin that Conswell.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a swindler, that guy.
Yeah, he tries to pull a fast one on people.
Yeah. Maybe the only fast ones he will pull is to fastly... That's not a real word, is it? Fastly?
Quickly.
To quickly or fast one them... I want to say he will quickly teach them English.
That's I bet when he was a kid, he probably caught Santa Claus, though.
You think so?
Yeah, he probably saw like his boot as he was going up the chimney.
Hmm. Well, who's to say that Santa Claus doesn't exist? I think you and I both recently listened to a podcast where it was a shamanic guy talking about these energies in the world. And if you have more than, I don't know, million kids that believe in this entity of Santa Claus and what that represents, who's to say that that isn't a real thing?
Yeah. Where does the border between imagination and reality, where does that really come into play?
Exactly.
And who's to say what is real? Exactly. Except for real life.
Yeah. This is the real deal. Okay, so wrapping up, we learn a lot about Christmas. We learn all about Christmas in the United States.
A lot of primarily, right? Vocabulary, Christmassy vocabulary.
We learn about eggnog, how to spike eggnog.
How to invent words in English.
Like coconutty.
Coconutty?
We learn about the
Christmassy?
The glottal T.
The glottal T, which is pronounced like...
Mountain.
Mountain.
I think gotten. Also,
gotten. Because you can't hear the gotten. It's gotten. Manhattan. What else did we learn today?
That's about it.
Okay. Well, in that case, we want to finish off with by teaching the true meaning of Christmas, which is, you mentioned gratitude, being with family.
Commercialization.
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, no, it's being with family, it's sharing those moments, it's cultivating rituals with people you love.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we love you guys, so thanks for listening to this podcast and helping us cultivate this ritual. And Merry Christmas and many...
Happy holidays.
What did we say again?
Hey, I have a little announcement here. So if you go to the page for this podcast, which is...
Let's make it reallifeglobal.com/... Eggnog?
Sure.
EGG dash?
No dash. Dash confuses
EGG NOG.
Okay.
We have a present for you that we're going to put together that's a special thing that's going to surprise you. And go grab that now, and you'll be on our list to receive updates, be the first to know about our podcast, and special gifts that we have along the way.
What's the gift?
Hey, it's a surprise.
Really?
Go download it.
Okay.
Check it out. And be our friends.
Yeah. Nice little stocking stuffer there for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. So can I get just to finish off, maybe like a 1, 2, 3, ho, 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 oh, yeah.
Oh, you read my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
You were going to say that?
I was.
Okay, cool. So ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ho, 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 oh, yeah.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like boys play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. And someday at Christmas, there will be no wars, when we have learned what Christmas is for. When we have found out what life is really worth, then there will be peace on earth. Someday all of our dreams will come to be. Someday in a world where men are free. Maybe not in time for you or for me, but someday at Christmas time. And someday at Christmas there will be no tears. All men are equal and no men have fears. One shining moment my heart ran away from the world that we live in today. And someday at Christmas man will not fail. Take hope because your love will prevail. Someday in a new world that we can only start with hope in every heart. And someday all of our dreams will come to be. Someday in a world where men are free. Maybe not in time for you or for me, but someday at Christmas time, well, there will be peace on earth. I said there will be peace on earth.